Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show on this day before Easter, 2012, Saturday morning, early 5 a.m. And we're up in Adam here this morning. Wonder if you are. Not a lot today. I don't have a tremendous amount of information for you, but there's some stuff going on. But again, we would invite you to participate. You can drive the show if you'd like. Today, wherever you want to take it, we'll go there. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. If you remember, I told you last week I had gone to the General Assembly and sat in on the hearing of the Senate whatever they call it, that big long name, Committee Education and Natural Resources, Environmental, whatever. Anyway, and the Senate bill or House Bill 1052 that was sponsored by Delegate Beitzel and, believe it or not, Delegate Frush, the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act. As of yesterday morning, the bill had not advanced out of the Senate committee. It was being held, as so often is the case, from being taken a vote being taken to advance it to the full Senate. Now, remember, this is a bill that will increase penalties for poaching wildlife. It will give the Wildlife and Heritage Service administrative authority to take a look at every case where someone convicted of poaching has pled guilty. And the way it works now is if someone is caught, let's say somebody writes them a fine, a ticket for $500, let's say, just for example, well, they can certainly plead guilty and just pay the fine. They don't even have to appear in court. This legislation would change that. Some of that would be must appear type violation. Some of it would be if someone does just pay the fine and move on, the department can look at that and say, you know, this guy, this is about the third time this guy's been caught. It's about time we do something with it. We can revoke his license. We can suspend his privileges. We can seize his property. You know, that type of thing. Any gun that was found in the vehicle can be removed and that type of thing. So this is a very valuable tool. Plus, it also increases the penalties for someone who is found guilty, first offense, second offense, and so forth. So it's a very valuable law enforcement tool. And I mentioned there were only three people allowed to talk about the bill when it came up. It was a sponsor only, which was Delegate Beitzel, and he did a very good job. A wildlife director did a nice job explaining their role, and then NLP did a superb job of telling their side of the story to the committee. Well, as of yesterday, Vice Chairman of the committee, Senator Roy Dyson from Southern Maryland, had not allowed the vote to go forward on that particular bill, and that's House Bill 1052. However, I am pleased to tell you that Senator Dyson received a myriad of phone calls and emails from people in the hunting community yesterday had a conference with a couple of leaders of the Sportsman's Caucus, including Senator Astell, including Delegate Beitzel. And so the bill actually advanced out of the Education Environmental Committee with favorable report. So that bill goes on to the full Senate to vote on today, tomorrow, or Monday at the latest, the last day of the session. So we want to maintain the pressure, however. And I would invite you to contact your state senator and ask him or her to vote to support HB 1052. That is the HB 1052 is the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012. It's very simple to send an email. You can go to the General Assembly homepage, and you can Google that if you like, or you can just Google Maryland State Senators, and you will come up with a website, www.msa.md.gov, and then you can navigate from there to find the name of your senator in your district. Send a mass email out to all the senators if you'd like. So that's my political thing for today. We hope that that you will respond. We're trying to get this up on the website. I don't know if my web guy is going to put it up there today or not. There was a call to action on the website as of Thursday night into Friday. Anybody that viewed the website, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, was able to see that information. However, we haven't been able to update it yet, so we will. My web guy is extremely responsive, and we'll see what happens. 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. I was out fishing this week a couple times. Went, did a little pond hopping with my grandson, local pond, and tried for some bluegills and some bass, and caught a couple. Nothing to write home about, but it was a good time. And so weather kind of dropped off. The weather changed dramatically this week as far as the overnight temperatures, and dropped the surface water temperature down. Also went to Deer Creek to try for some hickory shad. I think that was Wednesday, yeah, on the fly rod, and didn't even get a bump. Saw some herring and, you know, some stuff, other stuff in the creek, but did not see any hickory shad. So if anybody's got a report on the Susquehanna or on Deer Creek, I'd love to hear from you. 410-922-6680, 800-922-6680. So there you go. The statewide spring turkey season begins next Saturday with one-day junior turkey hunt. And then on the 18th, 4 days later, the regular season opens and will continue through May 23rd. So anybody who's looking forward to getting the kids out for turkeys next Saturday, April 14th, is the day. According to Bob Long, the wild turkey biologist for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, he says gobbling activity is often higher before the regular season opens, making this a great time to introduce a young hunter to the thrill of turkey hunting. Adults are encouraged to take a young hunter out on junior turkey hunt. On the junior turkey hunt, this one-day hunt allows licensed hunters age 16 or younger to hunt wild turkeys when accompanied by an unarmed, licensed adult of at least 21 years of age. Regionally, turkey numbers are stable or increasing in southern Maryland and on the upper parts of the eastern shore. Although turkey populations remain abundant in the traditional turkey strongholds of western mountains and lower eastern shore, a general decline is apparent in both regions. Turkey numbers in the central part of the state are holding steady. So, once again, April 14th, junior turkey hunt, half hour before sunrise through to sunset. You can hunt all day. And then on April 18th through May 9th, a half hour before sunrise through noon. And then this year, the season kicks in on May 10th through May 23rd, the last 2 weeks of the season, half hour before sunrise through sunset. Sunday turkey hunting is currently permitted in Allegheny and Garrett counties on April 29th and May 6th. Turkey hunting is currently prohibited on all other Sundays and in all other counties. However, there is pending legislation before the 2012 session of the General Assembly that may allow Sunday hunting on private lands in certain counties in time for the 2012 season. So keep your eye on that. Let's talk to Joe in Bully's Quarters. Morning, Joe. How you doing? Joe, turn your radio down.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, turn your radio down, Joe. We're on delay, so you're okay. We're trying to talk to you, and you're still listening to 7 seconds ago.
I am.
There you go.
I want my friend to hear me on the radio, though. Yeah.
Well, he'll hear you if he's got his radio on.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, what's on your mind, Joe?
Fishing hickories.
Yep.
up at the gunpowder.
Okay.
By the train trestle.
Okay.
The school up there.
Okay.
And has anybody ever catched any more gudgeons anywhere? You know, gudgeon fishing? Did you ever do that when he was a kid?
No, I never did. I've heard about it, and we've had we get those calls almost every spring about this time of year. I'm sure there are gudgeons still available. They're not extinct by any means, but just there's no interest in catching them anymore.
Well, I know they're good eating.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, never eaten one.
Yeah. They only get like 4 inches.
Yep.
5 inches.
Yep.
The whole fish and all. Yeah, there's some hickories up there by the train trestle.
Okay.
Gunpowder right there.
Yep, I got you.
Going up at the end.
Right. Okay, so they're there. Have you caught some?
No, I haven't. That's what I'm asking. Now, I've seen them there.
Oh, you've seen them there.
I've seen somebody there snagging them.
Snagging them? You're not allowed to snag them.
I'm just saying they had trouble hooks. It wasn't me. But.
Well, thank you for putting that out. I hope the NRP's listening to that. Mm. Yeah, that's very interesting. Now, why would you want to snag hickory shad?
Hickories? Yeah. They're a fight. That's on double shad dart rigs right there.
Yeah.
I'm talking, like 30 years ago and stuff, but they're up there.
Mm-hmm. You saw them there this year?
Yeah.
Okay. When?
Right. Okay.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it. There you go. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Give us a call. 1-800-922-6680. We'd love to hear from you. The snakehead fishing is just phenomenal right now. Sometimes it's pretty good in the spring. We've got fellas that are shooting them with a bow and arrow, which is legal. We've got guys catching them on white spinner baits. Up and down the Potomac. I even saw one report of a small snakehead that was caught in the Blackwater River. Don't know if it was a release or not, but the Nanticoke has been found to have snakeheads in it. It's a very tenacious fish, top-tier predator. They're getting up to 10, 12, 15-pound fish. I don't know if there's been any bigger. So I heard a report of a 40-pounder. But I cannot confirm that. And at least if you've heard of it or seen it on the angler's log or something like that, we'd love to hear from you on that one. That's for sure. A 40-pound snakehead. That's pretty nasty. So anyway, what can I tell you? Ah, mercy. Hello, 410-922-6680. You are in charge of the show, folks, so you're not doing a very good job right now. Giving us a call here at 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680, 410-922-6680. One fishing report. Not even sure what day that was, but, hey, is what it is. Let's see. I had something here last week I wanted to tell you about that was kind of interesting. Huh. Well, if I find it, I'll let you know. Yeah, the Kardashians are not happy with PETA. P-E-T-A. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. We like to call them people eating tasty animals here. I've somewhere lost that very important story. Maybe it's in this stack. Yes, the Kardashians. Yeah. One of them actually, which one was it? Was it Khloe? One of them actually posed nude for one of the PETA campaigns against fur. And then last week, one of the other ones, Kim. Yes, was flower bombed on the red carpet when she was trying to talk about her new deodorant or perfume or who knows, whatever it was. Somebody threw a flower bomb and hit her in the face. Turned out they tracked that to a rabid PETA supporter, some babe. And now Chloe's all upset, and she's not going to represent PETA anymore. Such a tiff. That whole world just eludes me. Let's talk to Jeff in Baltimore. Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Good. What's up?
Oh, well, I called you last week.
Yeah.
And I'll send you an email. I appreciate your response. I'm hanging out at my job till 7 o'clock again.
Oh, yeah.
The last fellow that called, speaking of the shad fishing, reminded me, the one time that I have caught shad was at the spot that he referred to, and it's about the only one that I know to go to, at least how to get there. It's kind of a limited spot.
Right.
I did have the one time that I caught like five of them. A kid gave me a shad dart, which I wasn't using, and I caught five in a row, and they were quite fantastic on a 4-pound.
Yeah, they're very acrobatic on light tackle, and on a fly rod, they're just as spectacular, so it's pretty good, yeah.
That was like 5 years ago, and I've gone back a time or two since each year and to the same spot, which is rather picturesque and lovely, but it was like the place was didn't have a fish in them, but that one time that I went.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I was wondering.
Well, the shad run normally takes place mid-April to early May, and it's the hickory shad.
You think it started yet?
Well, I talked to some guys on Wednesday that were fishing at the mouth of Deer Creek in the main river, and they were one fella caught five, but the water is so low, they're not running a lot of water through the dam up there, and Deer Creek is like, no, I won't say it's a trickle, but it's far, far, far lower than the last two springs. We just haven't had any rain. And it's very clear, and if the fish are there, they're probably pretty wary. I mean, they can see you real quick. But we fished several holes at on Wednesday and did not even get a strike, like I said, and didn't see any fish. Normally, you can see fish moving in some of the clearer, deeper spots there, and we didn't see anything. We're getting that same report that the water's too low, water's too cold, fish haven't shown up. I don't know that that has anything to do with the water levels, but, you know, if we might be a week away. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, now, like I said, the only place that I know, because I haven't gone up to the Deer Creek, certainly I've heard of that, I like the gun pack. I know it, and it can walk to it. But I was wondering, is there any other places other than having to go all the way up to Deer Creek, and why gunpowder is the only, that one spot seems to be the only other spot aside from Deer Creek where you can go on foot. Any other suggestions?
Well, just hold on right there where you are, Jeff. And we're gonna team you up with Dale in Easton, Dale Weinrich, who. And we're going to link Dale up to you, who handled the shad program in Maryland for 20-plus years, 30 years, Dale? How long did you?
Yeah, about that. Too long to remember, I guess.
Yeah, well, Jeff's asking questions about shad in other places here that aren't too far away as far as, you know, the drive up to Deer Creek. And he's fished to gunpowder. Tell us a little bit more.
On that side, Alan, the Western Shore side, there's not a whole lot of opportunities to get to places. I mean, the Susquehanna itself,
right?
From the dam all the way down to Deer Creek is certainly fishable from shore.
Right.
I was up yesterday. The problem, as you say, is with the water.
Yeah,
they're just not running any water.
Did you see any fish? Did you catch anything yesterday?
I was fishing below the dam. They turned on around 8 o'clock.
Right.
And from 8 to 10, the action was slow. I planted five hickories and one small American.
Wow, okay.
And they turned the water off at 10 o'clock and things just died.
That was it, huh? Yeah.
And I went to Deer Creek. There were a few people fishing at the mouth at the railroad bridge.
Right.
But they weren't doing much either. Went up to the pumping station and the water being so low and clear, there are people trying, but I didn't see a fish caught.
Yeah, that's the same. That's the same problem we had on Wednesday. That was just so low.
Was that Octorero Creek? That's still Maryland, correct?
Sure, Octorero, Dale.
Yes, yes, that was my next suggestion, is a very good access point off Route 222. Now, on the Western Shore, if you wanted to go south of Baltimore, the Patuxent has some pretty good fishing, a place called Queen Anne's Bridge. That's on the border of Prince George's and Anne Arundel County. There's a nice park there. They've had very strong hickory shad runs the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Eastern Shore, I mean, you've got places like the Tuckahoe that have had pretty good shad runs. Hickory shad runs from Hillsboro all the way up to the dam.
I'm trying to remember if they have established the chop tank as a recovered fishery and they've stopped working on that as far as stocking efforts are concerned. I don't.
They've cut back. I think they've done that on the Patuxent, Alan.
Yes, I think you're right. I think the chop tank is their focus right now.
I think they are still stocking the chop tank.
Yeah, I can't remember my notes from my my hatchery tour there.
Right. But as you say, until we get some rain, their flows in the Susquehanna, if you're there when they're running water, you should do okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I've caught fish there when they've not run a lot of water, but there's just there's no pattern to it.
Right.
Alan.
You were fishing darts, Dale?
Yeah, well, actually fishing a dart and a small nungus or spoon.
Uh-huh.
And I caught fish on both of them. So.
Right.
I saw a few other fish caught, but it's just...
Now, are you fishing in tandem?
Yes.
Okay, so the shad dart's on the bottom.
Well, the spoon is all the way back, and the dart hangs on a little shorter line. I actually use a small barrel swivel, Alan, with 2 liters. Longer leader has the spoon.
Mm-hmm.
Shorter leader has the dart.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But again, water's the key unless they're going to run water.
Now, you didn't use a three-way swivel.
So what no.
Used
no.
A, used
no. What was I going to say?
Sorry.
Until they start running water, Alan.
Yeah.
Now, whether yesterday, because it was a holiday, they weren't going to turn back on until about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And things should pick up. Now, on a normal day, when they usually start running water 7:30, you know, things should be a little steadier.
Right.
A lot of times the holidays, they just don't run near as much water.
Yep, exactly. Well,
so that's the story.
Well, that's the typical story then, I guess, from everything I've heard. It requires an increase in water, yep. in water flow. And did you find the water very cold, Dale?
It was chilly, Alan, and I was going to take the water temperature and doggone if I didn't forget. But
yeah.
I know the air was cold, Alan. The wind was blowing pretty strong.
Yeah, and temperature. What's our temperature to key that spawning run?
Well, again, I've caught hickory shad in water as cold as 44 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But they will begin to move, you know, as the temperature increases. But the key to early movement, Alan, is the amount of daylight.
Mm-hmm.
As the amount of daylight increases, they're going to begin their migrations.
Right.
The water temperature has some factor early on, but it's more important when the fish are getting ready to spawn.
Right.
Do they tend to like the light, low light situation?
Low light, yes. Hickory shad. If you look at a hickory shad, his eyes are big. And they're on the side of his head, and they bite much better normally when it's cloudy or very early or very late in the day.
We did have a cloud cover up there on Wednesday. I thought it might have helped us a little bit, but it apparently didn't. Their fish aren't there yet.
That's no, they're the not there. Now, so, I did see some great blue herons in Deer Creek, which is a sign. They're normally fishing for herring, so there appears to be a little bit of herring activity in Deer Creek because of the amount of great blue herons I saw.
Right. Right. Okay. Very good.
But that's it, Alan. So.
All right, Dale. Sounds
not very
like
encouraging, but.
Well, hey, look, it's early.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we went last year till like mid-April. I don't know if rockfish season was in or turkey season was in.
Right.
I can't remember. It was a little later than this. So.
But long-range weather forecasts I've heard, Alan, don't look very
good. Doesn't look good for rain. Yeah. So what do you think, Jeff? You good with that?
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you for those tips. I might try that southern.
The Patuxent, if I were going to fish for hickory shad, I would go down to, it's actually called Queen Anne's Bridge Park.
Okay.
It's a nice park, plenty of parking area, and the access is very good. So
that's
I would
good.
Give that a shot right now because you're not going to be affected near as much by, there's no dams down there. So river flow should not be as bad as it is in the upper bay. So I would give that a shot first of all.
Okay.
Great.
Super.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Dale.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Jeff. All right. See you guys.
Thank you, Al. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, buddy. Thanks, Jeff. Bye-bye. There goes Jeff and Dale. All right. Hey, look, we had a number of qualifiers this week for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Raymond Kistenmacher from Elkton caught a channel catfish on the Elk River. And Robert Rhodes got a nice big yellow perch. Jack Saley with a rainbow trout in Patapsco. And Bobby Chassereau from Bel Air caught a big old largemouth. And Martin Cribb from Mount Wolf caught another nice smallmouth over 20.75 inches. Brandon Bollinger from Hagerstown got a big old 25-inch rainbow trout. Steve Bowman from Rising Sun took a 15.5-inch crappie from Still Pond Creek. And Walter Bowman, I'm going to guess those two guys are related. He's from Port Deposit in Still Pond Creek, caught a 16-inch crappie. Brian Plott from Baldwin took a 16.5-inch crappie in Harford County Farm Pond, and Jack Driver from Sharptown, Maryland, took a largemouth bass of 23 inches in a Mardella pond. Now, Ryan Holzer from Pasadena caught another nice crappie 15 inches out of Piney Run out there in Carroll County. Well, it is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and all those guys qualified to win the great prize, like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in fishing tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. And now through Labor Day, you can too. All you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and have your catch certified, you're in. It is that easy to do. There are more than 60 species of fish in the freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. Why not stop by your local Fish and Citation Center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge. And this year, we honor the legendary Lefty Cray, renowned worldwide fly fisherman from right here in Baltimore. Again, that's www.dnr.maryland.gov. And the question I have, are you feeling lucky? Alan Ellis here for Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. You know, my friend John Berkridge, the sales manager, he wants outdoorsmen to know that the F-150 and Super Duty pickups are ready for action. Remember, Ford trucks are dependable wherever you spend your time outdoors, at work, and at play. Stop by and see the lineup of Explorers, Escapes, Rangers, Super Duty, and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years. Ask how to take advantage of the special offers and incentives on Ford trucks at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. See Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln at 1845 East Joppa Road in Parkville for all the details, or call 410-661-6400. Visit them online at bobdavidsonauto.com. For outdoorsmen, Bob Davidson is your outfitter for quality Ford trucks.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Hey, what's in your bed? I mean your truck bed. Protect your truck bed with a Linex protective coating from Bay Linex at Glen Burnie, just like I did. Linex is the best available protective coating on the market, period. You want colors for your truck or even your heavy equipment? Linex with color-coated DuPont Kevlar uses your existing paint code to provide you with that factory-finished look, offering superior protection. Linex spray-on bed liners are rated number one in customer satisfaction, and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is the one to provide that. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie also provides a mobile service to your job site for commercial and industrial applications. From underground holding tanks and secondary containments to styrofoam and plastics, they all need protection. Linex protective coatings have been tested by the Air Force Research Lab and the Army Corps of Engineers, and now the Linex material is sprayed on the walls of the Pentagon. You want to know more? visit them online at baylinex.com. Or you can call Bobby Hawkins. That's at 410-789-0199, 410-789-0199. Now, Baylinex is located in Glen Burnie, right off Beltway Exit 3A. And now I got to switch gears here a little bit. See, isn't that something? But anyway, I'll tell you where they are in a minute, maybe next time. There we go, 400 Arundel Corporation Road. That's where they're located, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Visit them online, baylinex.com. Bobby Hawkins is the man, and when you mention Ellis Outdoors or the Outdoorsman Radio Show, you will receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card when you have a liner installed in your pickup truck. Bobby Hawkins is the man, 410-789-0199, 789-0199 for Baylinex of Glen Burnie.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. We're welcoming your calls. You're kind of directing the show here today, and we will keep yakking until we get a phone call, and then we'll yak some more with you. How do you think about that, huh? All right, spring turkey season coming up. Also, spring rockfish is coming as well, that's for sure. We're in the middle of the preseason catch and release, and those regulations include no stinger hooks, no trailer hooks. In other words, whatever the hook is in the main hook in the bait that you're using is it. You're not allowed to attach a secondary hook. Barbless hooks are required when you're trolling. Barbless, that means no barb on the hook. Grind it off or press it down. No, non-offset circle hooks or J hooks with a gap less than a half inch are required when using natural bait, and no more than six lines may be employed while trolling, regardless of the number of anglers on board. No more than six lines. Now, that all changes at 5 a.m. on April 21st, 2 weeks from now. That is the Chesapeake Bay spring trophy season. The Chesapeake Bay from the Brewerton Channel to the Maryland-Virginia line, and that excludes all bays, sounds, tributaries, creeks, and rivers, except for Tangier Sound and Pocomoke Sound. The creel and size limit is one fish per person per day over 28 inches. Once you catch that fish, you're not allowed to call. What that means is if you catch that 28-inch fish, it's 28 and a half inches, and the next fish in the boat's 30, everybody's caught their fish, you can't keep fishing and toss your smaller ones back in anticipation of getting a bigger one. Eels may not be used as bait from December 16th through May 15th. And then May 16th through the 31st, season changes as well. So the trophy season, April 21st to May 15th. Keep that in mind. So here's another little event coming up. The Baltimore County Fish and Game Protective Association There are gun shows coming up, gun and outdoor shows coming up Saturday, May 12th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's only $2, and if you want a table, it's $10. Long guns, hunting and fishing equipment, and that's at the clubhouse, 3400 North Wind Road in Kearney. So if you want to be a vendor, if you have some stuff to sell, Rick Richmond, 410-335-5994, if you want to give him a call. So I might take that one in. Sounds like fun. So, all right. Let's see here. Email address, if you'd like to contact me during the show and make your point via email, you can do that at Ellis, my last name, at ellisoutdoors.com. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. A lot of things going on. General Assembly is winding down. It's amazing, absolutely amazing, how many bills there are in front of the General Assembly. And it was explained to me by somebody on the inside that they basically waste the first, 2 months, and it's party time, so to speak. The big issue this year was gay marriage, and, dealing with social issues like that when we've got budget problems and all this other stuff, the business of the people to take care of. It just kind of everything gets pushed to the last minute. And hunting, fishing, ha, what's that all mean? So, the whole process is distasteful. Having seen it just briefly, I would not want to spend my day down there, trust me. So a lot of credit goes to the folks that do that work on behalf of sportsmen, and including I know I've talked about Bill Miles on the show before, and not in a very positive light in some instances. But Bill does the heavy lifting for sportsmen. I've seen him in action. Now I've seen him working. And guess what, folks? There's not very many other people that do what he does for the Maryland Legislative Sportsmen's Foundation. He works his work. And gets a lot of hits for it from not only members of the General Assembly, not only senators and delegates. I actually witnessed a delegate whose delegation introduced legislation, and the legislation failed. This guy actually laughed in Mr. Miles' face the other day, and that was very insulting and very very annoying. And very disrespectful to the sportsmen of Allegheny County and who put forth a bill that did not make it. And it was almost like, ha, 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 we showed you. Well, it's not you showed us anything. You just, basically slapped the face of all the sportsmen in your district. And guess what, Mr. Delegate? They know it. They know it. And, they will continue to know it. And I have a suspicion that the sportsmen will not support your reelection. Sorry, you don't laugh in the face of sportsmen when they have a concern. That's all. So, I want to encourage you to get active. I want to encourage you, if not this session, next session. But I would really like to see you contact your senator on House Bill 1052, the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act. This is a great bill. This is something that's been we've tried to get passed for a couple of years in a different form, and now it's where it should be. It basically gives wildlife the authority that fisheries has to deal with poaching. It's called administrative authority. It doesn't take authority away from the court. It just enhances the ability to penalize poachers. We have a number of tools in the toolbox. Here, one of them is the it just went out of my head just like that. But it's a nationwide what is it? It's a nationwide agreement between states that if you're caught violating natural resources law in one state, that you are put onto a registry. And the wildlife, good grief, somebody help me out. The process goes like this. If you're caught poaching in Maryland and you lose your hunting privileges and you say, well, I'm just going to go hunt some elk out in Colorado, guess what? You may not be able to do that. You may not be able to do that because the people from Maryland communicate with the people in Colorado. And there's 30-some states involved in that. So, hey, let's talk to Carl in Bowley's Quarter about trout fishing. Change gears here. Carl, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Alan. How about yourself?
Good. Are you fishing this morning?
No, I'm working.
How'd you guys do last week?
We did very well, thank you.
Yeah.
Eight of us fishing. We left the pond 3 day total between me and Junior and everybody else. We left with 39 trout.
39?
Yeah. That's eight people, too.
39 trout, eight people?
Yeah.
What's the limit?
Five.
Yeah, well, how come you're one short?
Yeah, well, it's also a 3 day total too. Some of us didn't get our limit.
Oh, you allowed to do that?
The trout that were in there were beautiful.
Yeah, nice, huh?
Oh, I got some beautiful fillets. Next Sunday, I'm cooking down my mother-in-law's.
What are you cooking?
Stuffed trout.
Hey, what do you stuff them with?
Crab meat.
Really?
Yeah.
Crab meat. Yeah.
I got to apologize. I know you kept trying to ask me last week, and I was so pumped up.
Yes, you were.
Well, hey, man, it was about that time.
Well, yeah, I know it was.
And Matthew, no sooner than I hung up the phone from you, Matthew threw in. He said, Dad, that thing didn't even hit the water. And he had the first one at the whole pond.
Mm-hmm.
And, They were just bang, 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 bang.
That's it.
Four fish in less than a half an hour.
Cool.
And then sat there the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Didn't get another one.
That's the way it goes, though, right?
Hey, it's fishing. It ain't called catching, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Well, we had a great day. A little chilly, but other than that, you know, the whole family was there, you know.
Right.
My brother-in-law, Mike, my two great nephews, all three of my sons, my father-in-law. We had a good time.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and then we played them up Sunday, and I'm going to be stuffing the trout this coming Sunday, not Easter, but the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we make up a crab cake and then we roll the fillets around and use a couple toothpicks to hold the fillet, you know, onto the crab.
Oh man, that sounds wonderful. Yeah. Now when you say you fillet the trout, you don't butterfly them.
Yes, sir, I fillet them.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't like them bones.
Well, I don't either.
So you get a couple. You just take the end of your thumb and your fillet knife and you just pop. You can see them and you just pop them out of that meat.
Oh, the bones?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah.
They're hard fish to fillet, but.
Oh, I know. I know. I think I heard. I don't know if you heard me last week or not, but I was telling folks how to make a boneless butterfly fillet. Just before you freeze them, you know, you scale them, take the head off, leave the tail on, take the fins off, the anal fin and the dorsal fin. Okay, but just before they thaw out completely, you can take your fillet knife. You hold the fish's back in your hand, and you put the blade of your fillet knife up towards the ceiling. Okay, and you just slide it in along those rib bones, and you slide your fillet knife up along the side, and you pop those bones out on both sides, and then you just take your fillet knife and keep on going through back to the tail on both sides of the spine, and you just pull the ribs and the spine out right there, and you got a boneless butterfly. Might be a little easier to stuff with crab meat. In other words, you don't fillet off the side. You don't have a single fillet. You have a double fillet butterfly boneless.
Yeah.
You follow me on that?
Yeah, I got an idea of what you're talking.
Okay. So, I mean, you cut the head off, and you pull the tail, you know, you pull the tail fin, the anal fin, and the dorsal fin out. You just,
right,
you
right.
pull them out. Okay. And, well, now you have the head of the fish, head end of the fish, in your hand, in your left hand, towards you. You take your fillet knife, you turn the blade up, and you put it in right beside the spine, and you go around the bones on both sides and then all the way back to the tail. And you just do what you did. You say take your thumb, but you just take the spine and you pull the ribs and the spine all the way out. And then you've got two boneless fillets there that are joined by the skin on the back of the fish.
Yeah.
All right. It's hard to explain. I'd have to show it to you. But
I'd have to see it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's easy, and it's very easy to do, and it's very simple, and that would make a real good fillet to stuff with crab meat or butterfly. So anyway.
I'm going to have like 70 of these little fillets in the oven and broil them.
Yeah.
Just before they're done, you take a can of cream crab soup.
Yeah.
And you smother it with the cream crab, and then you put it into a toast, like. Then that's some dynamite.
Man, you're killing me. Okay.
So
basically, you bake them, and then you cover them with cream of crab, and then you broil it.
Yeah.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, basically.
Well, you say toast, though. You put it on bread? You put them on toast tips?
No, you get a little brown crust of the cream of crab.
Oh, okay. So you broil the cream of crab. Boy, that sounds good, man. That really sounds good.
It is. It's dynamite.
Yep.
She's the chef. She's the one that come up with the idea.
That's
not me. I can't take credit for it.
Cream of crab, coat trout fillets with cream of crab soup and broil it. Oh, man, you're killing me. All right, Carl.
Hey, this week, I don't know which day. I'll keep an eye. But they'll be putting them in Stansbury. And,
okay, let me know.
I'll give you a call. The day they put them in, bring your grandson down.
That sounds like fun. All right, buddy.
A lot of guys down there like to meet you, too, let me tell you.
Well, I'll be down. No problem.
They all listen to your radio show.
We used to have a regular caller from Dundalk who fished Stansbury and told us about Stansbury years ago. So, all right, buddy. Got to go.
Bye, man.
Thanks, Carl.
Have a good one, Alan.
All right. See you, buddy. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Now, look, crab season's coming up. Fishbones Bait and Tackle has the best crab steamers I've ever seen. Made in Maryland, all stainless steel. They come with a basket and a lid. They got three sizes. They got a half bushel, they got a bushel, and they got a bushel and a half if you really want to steam crabs for the whole family. And these are great stainless steel, heavy-duty crab steamers. And of course, Fishbones has the burners and and everything else to fire them up, the seasoning and all that good crab stuff, too, and everything you need for trout lining and the whole deal. Where is Fishbones? 4729 Mountain Road, Pasadena. 4729 Mountain Road. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. Head out towards Gibson Island, about 2.5 miles on the right-hand side. You'll find Fishbones Bait and Tackle. All the hand-tied, hand-poured, hand-painted rockfish lures. All the bucktails, all the parachutes, all the umbrellas are all hand-tied right there at the store. You can order custom colors, or you can find even Raven's colors if you want them for trolling for rockfish. 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Hey, look, I'm going to switch gears here real quick. Sean Mann Outdoors manufactures some of the finest goose calls you'll find anywhere in the country. Yep, indeed. 1-800-345-4539 is how you get in touch with the office. But first, I would urge you to visit the website, www.seanmann.com. There you'll find all the calls that are made by Sean Mann, including the Eastern Shoreman. That is one of the easiest calls to operate. It reproduces all the sounds of a Canada goose, and it's the call that I've seen in many, 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 many game bags here in Maryland. When the geese are flying, the guys are calling to him with the Eastern Shoreman, and it's a great goose call. 1985, Sean Mann won the world championship with the Eastern Shoreman. More world championships have been won with Sean Mann calls, including the Eastern Shoreman and the Shorty Goose call, than any other call. SeanMann.com or 1-800-345-4539. Call them up, get acquainted with them, get to know the local folks here at Sean Mann, SeanMann.com.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back. Okay, we have time. Do we have time for another phone call? Maybe. One little short one, if you want. Anyway, I was talking about Khloe Kardashian. Here's the thing I was telling you about. There's Khloe. She's, They're showing this this poster that Khloe did in the nude for PETA, and it's a naked Khloe Kardashian. And the question is, fur? Question mark. I'd rather go naked. Yep. Well, Khloe Kardashian Odom has officially severed her ties with PETA because her sister Kim was flower bagged by a PETA activist on the runway when she... Oh man, I can't read it. Anyway, the PETA official's name was Michelle Cho. She helped coordinate Khloe's nude PETA PSA, and she was the one that was accused of. Christina Cho was a very active animal rights activist who PETA in the past has referred to as a superstar activist. Well, apparently the Kardashians ticked him off. Anyway, we'll be back with more. Now get out, stay out, and stay safe.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
As the proud owner of a Ford F-150 pickup, I'm pleased to recommend Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. From the sales experience to the quick lane service department, Bob Davidson is Maryland's only Ford dealer that has earned the Ford President's